If you are desperately looking for a job at the moment, if you are trying to network and to reach out to recruiters and it is not successful, then maybe you are making one of these three common mistakes. You are downgrading your competences, you don't manage to keep up your energy in the right moment, or you are not empathetic enough when handing in your application. How you can avoid these three mistakes? This is what I want to discuss with you in this episode. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the podcast Spotlight Your True Self. I am Michaela. I am a German who lives in Helsinki since 5 years. I am your podcast host. I am a public speaker. I am a certified NLP practitioner. And I am also a manager of a small team who does risk management in a big corporate company in Finland. And this podcast episode here is something that I'm recording very spontaneously. I actually had planned a completely different topic for publishing a podcast episode today, but my current situation is that as a manager of this team, I have a free position and I am now hiring somebody to come to my team to fill that position that got free. So we are doing risk management. I'm looking for a risk analyst. That is the concrete job title of that position. If you're listening to this podcast episode when it comes out end of March, I can also say that this position is published since I think the 21st or 22nd of March. So that was the day when we have put it on the website of the company, where we have put everything on LinkedIn, and now the recruitment is ongoing. And around the same time when that job position got published, I was at an event which was a panel discussion talking about, because we have that problem in Finland, we have many internationals living already in Finland, but they have problems to find a job. And there is always this finger pointing and this blaming towards Finnish companies that they would not consider foreign talent enough, that they are not looking enough for diversity, for inclusion. And so this topic of the panel discussion was basically, is it contrary to hire for diversity or for talent, or is both possible at the same time? So can you hire for diversity and talent? That panel discussion was extremely interesting for inspiring women who were leading this conversation there and who all had an expertise in that field. But then also among the audience, I think 99% of the listeners were female as well. And of course, that event was a great opportunity to chat, to network, to make contacts with different people, to connect on LinkedIn if there may be some common interests. And of course, I was there already a little bit with the intention in my mind of, okay, let's check out what kind of contacts those people have, or if there is maybe somebody who could fit into that position that I have open, or somebody who knows someone who could fit into that position that I have opened. And it was also a great opportunity to reflect about myself as a hiring manager now. What should I pay attention to, or where would I pay maybe naturally attention to, whereas other things I would not have even thought about, or things that came up during those discussions where I thought, hey, yeah, that's actually a good point. And especially, I have met also many women there who are in that position that they are looking for a job in Finland. And of course, they were there to network as well. And out of my reflections of
that event and also given the fact that I am hiring at the moment, I have identified those three common mistakes that I think most of the people make who then end up not finding a job or not even getting a chance to have a job interview with the position they have applied for. And the first mistake that I have concretely observed on this event is that people are downgrading their own competences. And I would like to share one story here, and I don't know if that person will ever listen to that podcast, and I hope he or she doesn't mind that I am sharing it here. But the situation was that we were standing there in a group and we were talking about our background, and there was one person who was saying, yeah, I'm looking for a job now in this field. So he or she had a concrete business field in mind. And then I was asking that person, okay, so you have already work experience in that field. And the person responded or basically whispered, yes, I already have about 20 years of experience. And I was like, why the hell are you whispering? You have 20 years of experience in that field. How cool is that? So then, it's now a couple of days since that has happened, and I've thought about it so much, and honestly, I don't get it. A person who has a certain professional experience or a certain competence or whatever it is, whispering of, yeah, I actually have this. And this is exactly what you should not do. If you have a certain competence, then show that, present that, make it visible, be loud, be bold, because the right people have to hear that. And honestly, it was not a business field that had anything to do with my job. But let's say if it would have been, if I am a hiring manager and I have a person in front of me who's kind of, I do that since 20 years, but I would like to hide it, or I'm not really proud of that. It tells a lot about the competence of that person, but then I really have a big question mark in my head of, okay, what is then the motivation for that person also to apply for the job if that pride of working in that field seems to be missing? And maybe it does not even, or it is not even missing. I am really sure that the person is proud of what he or she has done in the past. But you have to present that, you have to show that to others also. To, I mean, it's also about your own way of showing up, to present your passion. I mean, if you have that topic and you go there and say, hey, I have 20 years of experience, and I have made or you describe a couple of examples, and your eyes are shining while you are doing that, that is a completely different attracting factor for anyone in your network, for a recruiter, for a hiring manager, anyone you would meet on a networking event or when you're sitting on a job interview. So please be aware of your competences, of your strengths, and develop the pride to speak that out loud, what you have and what you are able to do. Then, I'm just needing to breathe through here. I got a bit out of breath here while I'm talking about it. But those topics, for me, it's a big passion to also motivate people to show and say, hey, you should take those things into account. So, second mistake that I have observed, or that was, it was basically more something that was discussed on that event as well by the panelists that we had there. The addressed problem was that a person who is looking for a job over a very, very long period without being successful, maybe a person who is unemployed already for 1 year or even longer, who is writing job applications almost every day, who is almost every day fighting to get in something, that the energy level of that person goes down naturally, because it gets exhausting. If the success is not visible, if a person is trying and trying and trying and there is no result, it's clear that it gets exhausting and the energy level goes down. And then what one of the panelists was addressing was that, yeah, naturally such a person who has already quite low energy level, he or she might sit in a job interview not with the full motivation or not with the full energy level anymore. And I thought in that moment, yeah, it's completely understandable when you see it from a point of view of, okay, I know this person, I know the background, I know the story, and I am able to build up compassion for that. And don't get me wrong, I definitely do. The problem is just, when you are a hiring manager or a recruiter, you basically only see the surface, you only see the top or the peak of the iceberg. So if I am the hiring manager and I, let's say I have two people or two different people and in job interviews, and one is super enthusiastic, super energetic, super motivated, you see that glow, you see the fire in the eyes of that person, and maybe yes, that person is maybe still employed or is just there out of curiosity and does not have a pressure on his shoulders that he or she needs to find a job very quickly, or has gone through such a process where he or she has written applications for 1 year and nothing has happened. But what the hiring manager sees in that moment is just that high energy level, that enthusiasm, that motivation, in contrast to another person who sits in the job interview and is on a lower energy level and seems maybe to be obviously tired or exhausted or not fully motivated. So most likely, recruiter or hiring manager, they don't know or they don't spend that much time on thoughts about, okay, why is that person like that, or would he or she be differently in a different situation? Because a job interview, it's, let's say, a half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, where you get a very first and a very, very shallow impression from that person. So if you are in a situation that you have the feeling, okay, I'm really low in energy at the moment, I'm really lacking that motivation or that enthusiasm, I completely understand it, but keep in mind that you will show up like this, and the recruiter and the hiring manager, they don't know you. They don't know what is actually the, yeah, so-called baseline. So what would be your normal energy level after you would not have been through a very challenging year or a period full of struggles? They don't know that. They can't. Of course, if you're very brave, you of course have the possibility to share your personal story. And maybe that's one advice here, of course, that requires a lot of courage, that also requires that you have the space there to tell enough about yourself. And maybe it does not always fit into such a conversation like you normally have it in a job interview. So then of course the second option is, and I know that it can be really, really exhausting, but that you make sure that in that moment you are doing everything to keep your energy up, to bring your energy level to the highest possible point just for this 1 hour. You can go home afterwards, you can cry, you can sleep, you can eat, you can, I don't know what, please, something healthy, but I don't want to advertise alcohol or anything here, but I think you know what I mean. But just to make sure that for this 1 hour, you are at 100%. Listen to a song before the job interview, something that energizes you, that makes you enthusiastic, that brings up your energy level. Talk to friends, visualize how that job interview would be. Keep in mind that this could be your chance to have that job that you ever wanted, so that also after the job interview you have the feeling, yes, you have given 100%. And that means still that maybe you will not get that position, but at least you are able to say about yourself, yes, I have done everything that was possible. I have given 100%. And I completely understand that it might be exhausting, but I think if you compare to professional athletes in sports, it's completely the same. Yeah, people who do, we are in Finland here, so ski jumping, for example, where you just have a couple of attempts, one special moment where everything has to go together. You have to have the right timing, you have to use the right muscles, the right technique, everything, and maybe your first attempt is not good, and then you only have the second one, and you have that pressure on your shoulders to give 100% in that moment, because that is your last chance. And there is always the possibility that everything goes well and there's still someone who is better on that day in that competition. But you have to be able to focus, you have to be able to bring your focus to your target, to put all in, so that you go out of that in the end and you can say about yourself, yes, I have given everything from me that was possible. And the third mistake that I would like to mention here, because this is also something that I have seen already. A third mistake is when people are not, I would call it, yeah, not empathetic enough when they are handing in their application. And I can give you that concrete example because I had just published the position that I have opened in my team. And the vacancy is completely in English. It's also saying in the vacancy that fluency in English is a must. Finnish, as we are, the company is based in Finland, in Espoo. It says clearly Finnish is not required, because also I am not fluent as a manager in Finnish. So our company operates very, very well in English. The company language is English. And then it happened that I was contacted by a person via email in Finnish. So, and of course, I mean, I'm well able to understand roughly what the message was. Of course, I'm also able to use Google Translate. But again, the question, if you see how the job position or that vacancy is written and it's English and it clearly says English is the must, Finnish is not required, maybe the person has seen that on LinkedIn, there is my name, you go to my profile, you also see I am not Finnish, I am actually from Germany. What is the reason to contact me in the basically wrong language? And of course, I mean, that person can still be very skilled, but this is of course something where I'm already like, okay, why is the person not thinking about that? I mean, I can just talk about my personal values, but for me, empathy is something that ranks really, really high. I would consider myself as a quite empathetic person. I also always like it when people are empathetic, when they have a little bit of a sensation what other people need or how they can serve other people best. So then if I have a position open and I'm contacted in the wrong way, or that application comes in the wrong language, or even via a channel that is not the official one, or all these kind of things, I'm already like, why is that person first not really thinking about what would be the right thing to do in that moment? So that's already a negative point from my perspective. So I think whatever vacancy you have that you would apply for or open position, also spend some thoughts about who is your target group there. And I mean, as a target group, who are the hiring managers or the person who are recruiting a new colleague? What are they interested in? And that can also mean if you read a vacancy and it is a super creative position, and maybe even it is mentioned that it's for social media or making videos or whatever, then maybe also develop that idea to say, hey, I make a video application if this is possible. So thinking a little bit, if you are serving a hiring manager, and I would say I would be comfortable to use that wording, because I am basically I am the manager who is asking for something. I have a position open, and of course now I want people to come and serve me in a certain way. So handing in their application so that I can have a look and that I can choose the best candidate. And of course, I recognize that and I would reward it when I have the feeling, oh, that person has really thought about what do I need as a hiring manager, and what makes it easier for me to understand who that person is, to see the professionalism of that person, to see that he or she is really spending thoughts on what a good application for that position could look like. So those were those three mistakes that I wanted to share with you, and I quickly repeat them again. So the first one was downgrading your competence. Second one, you don't manage to keep up your energy level in the right moment. And the third one, you are not empathetic enough when you're handing in your application. And so for avoiding those three mistakes, I hope you already have gotten some insights on what I explained you before. But then also, if you want to know more, or if you still have the feeling, okay, you are not fully there, or you don't fully manage also to express your strength and to express your competence, and you are not sure how you should actually do it to bring up your energy, then please keep following this podcast, subscribe to this podcast, because this is exactly what this whole Spotlight Your True Self concept is about. That we build up yourself confidence, that you learn how to manage your emotions and also how to express them, and that you get certain communication skills based on the methods of NLP, neurolinguistic programming, so that with all of that you're also able to clearly communicate in the right way, whether it's in a job interview, when writing a cover letter, or then also when you're starting to work in a company, that you are able to build up good connections with your colleagues. If you have any questions on that, about how to sell yourself in a recruitment process, about networking, about job search, please feel free to reach out to me via Instagram or LinkedIn, and I promise that I will also keep you posted how the recruitment process for that open position now has went, what kind of reflections I have out of that when in proceeding with the job interviews and looking for the best candidate to hire. I hope that will also bring you important insights when you're looking yourself for a job at the moment, and I would be happy if we stay in contact. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you had some inspiring insights on your journey to spotlight your true self. If you don't want to miss the next episode, then please subscribe to this podcast, and you would make me very happy if you would give this podcast a rating if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and if you would recommend this podcast to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues, or whoever where you think this person would find support in the topics that I am discussing here. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Instagram under @michaela.kettner.fi. And if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you can find, of course, all the contact details in the show notes of this podcast.